Welcome, everybody, to the Making Awesome podcast, episode 170. Man, getting up there, man. Getting up there in the numbers, over 3 years. Gotta love it. We are going to be talking all about how to get better at 3D printing. This one is mostly focused at newbies, but hey, who knows? There might be some tips in there that you might get and might enjoy. And if you have tips that you would like to include and you are watching live, toss them into the live chat, because I think it would be pretty cool to try to crowdsource some of this stuff. Because no matter what printer you get, no matter if it is a generic Ender 3, Prusa Mark 4, Bamboo, whatever the heck it's going to be at this point, print failures do happen. One of the most common print failures that we see is parts not sticking to the build plate. So I think we're going to dive into that one a little bit. We're going to be covering some of the basic ones and what to look for. So hopefully that will go well. We're going to talk about how to get advice and how to ask for it, because there can be some things that you can add to those help questions that will get you better answers. Ultimately, we want better answers, don't we? And then the frustration that can come from it and how to overcome it. Because, yeah, spending a bunch of money that doesn't work for you for some reason, for whatever reason it might be, is frustrating as heck. So, if you are here hanging out live, leave a like, get subscribed, if you don't mind. I see we got Ram Online, Duff is here, ACH Was is here, K2 Kevin, Famelicious, sure. And Old Salty, hey Salty, how you doing, dude? Reth is here as well, so thank you all for coming out, hanging out, and I don't know, tell your friends, share it, let others know that we are streaming live. We do this pretty much every Sunday. Like, literally, tomorrow's my birthday, and normally we would do a birthday stream, but I've got way too much going on tomorrow. So, this is the effective birthday stream that we get. We're going to talk all about helping out the newbies, because realistically, if we as a community do not welcome newcomers and, you know, help them get to where they need to be, then they're going to be telling others about how bad this industry is, how bad the community is, and that stifles the growth of the industry. So I know it can be frustrating to see people asking questions without Googling, but I want to tell you, you probably did the same thing. I do the same thing from time to time. It's normal. It's life. And what we can do is we can help them. But at the same time, let's not just, you know, give the man a fish, if you will. Let's teach the man to fish. And part of that is giving them the resources that they need to succeed. And a fair bit of that means getting them information so that they can learn at their own speed, at their own kind of schedule, if you will. Anyways. So let's talk about the common printed failures, right? Some of the most common failures that we see, and we're 122? I'm going to actually check. I have recorded 123 weeks of Print Fix Friday. We've only shown 122 weeks of Print Fix Friday. And the most common failure overall has to do with the first layer. See, with a 3D printer, if your first layer is not perfect, then the rest of your print is likely not going to be all that good either. You might get lucky. I want to be clear. You might get lucky, but if that first layer isn't nice and smooth, then realistically, you might run into other problems throughout the print. We have a saying here that will help you kind of understand where your bed level is at. If your ruffles have ridges, so if there are vertical peaks that you can feel with your finger in between the lines for your first layer, you are too close to your build plate and you need to back it off a little bit. If you have valleys, that's when you're able to get it a little bit closer, right? So if you have valleys or a canyon in between the lines, that's where you're too far away and you can squish the nozzle down a little bit. But realistically, a lot of newer printers that are coming out have all those fun, fancy features for you to not have to do anything yourself. It just works. And we kind of like that. But at the same time, if your printer does just work and then all of a sudden doesn't, if you've taken for granted the work that the printer is doing for you, then when it doesn't do it for some reason, or I don't know, for some reason you get a bad first layer reading, maybe there was some garbage on the build plate, whatever it might be. If you don't know how to do that, you're going to sit there and wonder, am I the problem? And most of the time that answer, well, if you have an automatic based 3D printer, the answer to that's probably no. If you don't have an automated printer, maybe you have like an Ender 3 or something like that, one of the older versions of the Ender 3, then yeah, it might be a you problem, but that's okay. Remember, a lot of us have started in this industry, me now, what, 16? Yeah, 16 years ago. And the printers are totally, totally different. And like, you know, Mr. Catlett in the chat is saying to someone who is new to the 3D printing world, I'll read their comment. I'm new to the 3D printing world, and my first printer is a Voron 2.4 R2, still waiting on all the parts, looking forward to start building. Wow, that is... good on ya. I don't know if I would ever make a Voron my first printer. Because they're not designed for newbies. I want to be very clear. Like, the instructions, I was expecting Prusa, at least Prusa adjacent instructions, and that was not what I got. So yeah, and my Voron attacked me, which means I blame Steve Builds, who, when we are done with this stream, Steve will be starting a stream in just a few minutes once we're done, and there'll be a link to his stream in the description. Actually, it should already be there. But yeah, the Voron Discord is one of those communities that, when I first joined it, people were just yelling at me. It was bad. I asked some questions. They said, well, why didn't you just Google it? I said, I did. I found conflicting answers. Well, that's not our fault. And then I got kicked from the Discord. So yeah, I kind of wrote off the Voron people for a while. And they admit to the fact that they had a really toxic community. And boy, howdy, have they fixed up. Well, I am not yet in the Voron Discord because I am attempting to not go into a bunch of new Discords. I will be in it once we finish up the Trident build and we start, you know, modding the crap out of it, because that's what you do with a Voron. You never leave it stock. It is the ship of Theseus, or the ship of Zolon, if you will. And as Old Salty says, I hate when people say just Google it. That's why I'm asking the question. I did Google it. And the terminology is what gets you. If you don't know what you're trying to talk about, like, all right, I have a hot end. Okay. I have a hot end. I know that there's the nozzle tip, the heat block, the heat break, and the heat sink. But if you don't know these things and you don't know what the terminology is, you're not going to know what to search for, right? You know, hot end broke. Well, did your nozzle break? Did your heater fail? Did your thermistor fail? Did your heat break fail? What failed and why? And if you don't know the terminology, you're going to find yourself in a world of pain. And I don't like that. I don't want that to happen. So if you are watching this video and you don't know what the heck is going on with your printer and you don't know what to do, I want you to email me, youtube@3dmusketeers.com. I will send you a link to book time in my calendar and you can just physically show me. Because at some point, that's what people need. And I will not charge a dime for it. I'll give you 15 minutes of time, totally free, and we can help you get your printer back and running, because no one likes a printer that doesn't work. I don't like printers that don't work. So I want to help you get your printer running. So if you're watching this and you're dealing with printer problems, email me. We'll help you. I promise. Russ with the $20. Thank you, sir. Greatly appreciated. Russ, we got a chat. It's been a while since we had a phone call. I gotta give you a call. I've got a busy day for the next couple of days. I'll see if I can call you sometime in the middle of the week. It'd be really nice. It'd be really nice to chat. It's been a while. But yeah, I think that the toxic answer of just Google it, it doesn't work. No one likes it when someone says, just Google it. You don't like it when someone tells you. And whether or not you did Google it is kind of irrelevant. That's not my, you know, it's not my job to know whether or not you did. What my job is to help you figure out what you need. And those common print failures are something that can really eat you up inside. Because you might know, you're like, this can't be an uncommon print failure. I can't be the first person in the world to have it. But I don't know what I'm talking about, so I don't know what to search for. And that's a fun problem to have. I have this all the time, okay? Specifically when I'm working in CAD or when I'm working with, like, programming or most recently just some IT stuff where I didn't know, like, I know what I'm looking for, but I don't know how to find it. Great example. Working with the X1 Plus team. Guys should have known that for a while. But they told us that we can change out the logos on the printer. So I did. But where they wanted us to put the file didn't exist. To the programming guys, the string of characters that they sent told them that, hey, you need to add a folder with this name to it. Me, as an end user, did not know that. So I'm like, I don't see where the folder is. And they're like, oh, right, yeah. Make this folder, rename your file to this, put it in there, and then toss it onto your machine. And Bob's your auntie. You'll be able to, you know, do what you want. MKDIR woo. I don't even know what that means. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. But yeah, so we did that, and here, I'll. Are you gonna? There you go. See, I got a bamboo with my logo on it now. They are gonna bring GIF support, which is gonna be hilarious, and I'm kind of excited for that. But yeah, is. Oh, MKDIR is make a folder directory in Linux. It makes a folder named woo. Oh. See, I wouldn't know that. I was expecting it to be some sort of hardcore, like, multi-word acronym, not MK for make and DIR for directory. It's old school DOS. See, that is where my level of knowledge isn't there. So I just asked, and thankfully they're all well aware of the fact that I know enough to get myself into trouble. I don't know enough to, I'm not smart enough to do, like, hardcore programming. So yeah, the team is great. I cannot wait for X1 Plus to go public and release it. It's so cool. Yes, we will have a video coming up, don't worry. Yeah. Part of those common print failures is going to lead to that build plate. If you are getting beautiful first layers, but then you're not getting adhesion, likely your build plate is dirty. And when you pop your print beds off, or you know, scrape them off with a scraper, whatever it might be, however you are removing your print plates, and if you touch that build plate with your hands, your greasy hands, and I don't care how dry you think your skin is, it is more oily than it needs to be for build plates. You will leave oil down there. My skin produces enough oil that I'm surprised I haven't been invaded by the United States yet. But, you know, some people might produce less. Some people might not produce much at all. But that finger oil is something that we use oil for nonstick, okay? Oil will make your build plate not grab onto the plastic. So it is always good to clean your build plate. Personally, I wipe with Windex in between prints. If the build plate does get really dirty, we'll wipe it with some alcohol, or we will clean it with hot water and dish soap. Those are great ways to remove that oil. And I would say to hold your build plate like a vinyl record, but I have a feeling that specific analogy is going to be lost amongst a lot of the newbies in the industry. So, pretend like this box for a filter for my camera is your build plate. Do not hold it like this. Do not put your grubby bits on it. Hold it from the edges. The edges are going to be fine. If you do need to flex it, find an area where your printer cannot print. Most printers will have like a front little lip where the printer will not print. You can grab that and touch it and tweak the build plate, and it will work. That is really, really cool. And you can absolutely still get it wrong. And it's why I say, after every print and I've cleaned the build plate, I'm just going to quickly go ahead and wipe down my build plate with Windex. It's super simple, it's cheap, and it just works. It works for us, so, you know, why bother, right? Find what works for you, though. Certain build plates will like certain other things. Personally, the Windex seems to always work. Mike's Fourth Dimension says, got into basic support. Thank you for that. And gifted 5 memberships. Hey, thank you, Mike. I greatly appreciate it. We see Max got one. Famelicus, I don't know how to say that name. I'm sorry. Russ got one. K2 Kevin got one. Ken E got one. Thank you for throwing some memberships at our community. They are great people. Thank you for being awesome as well. Whoa, my camera just wigged out. That was weird. But thank you for being an awesome part of this community. You are cool. Thank you. FJ Prince asks when F1 Plus will be released. I have no clue. I have no freaking clue. Mike's Fourth Dimension says, please blame Steve Builds for that. Okay. All right. I'll blame Steve. I blame Steve for me getting attacked by a Vorod, so it's fine. I'm just going to blame Steve for everything that goes on in my life at this point. I get older every day. I'm just going to blame Steve. Hashtag blame Steve Builds. I'm here for it. Just blame Steve Builds. we love you, Steve. Steve's a good guy. And if you don't know, Steve and I are friends, and I have his upcoming stream linked in the description so that when we are done with our streaming, go check out his. But don't do that yet because he's not streaming yet. Stay and hang out. Like the video if you haven't yet. But yeah, Greg White says he uses ice purple alcohol and Windex. Yeah, those are great things to do to make sure that you keep your build plate clean. It's a very common error that we see. It's not coming up as often because I think it tends to work itself out. Because if you're not getting a good first layer, I think naturally is it is supposed to, like, naturally, like, okay, maybe it's dirty and I need to clean it. And maybe you clean it with dish soap. Maybe you clean it with something else, right? It seems to work. Now, I will say there are certain cases where it doesn't. Like, the case of my Prusa XL, I'm still having issues with that build plate. And I don't know what my next step is. I am debating on what to do next, but we've tried more heat, we tried alcohol, we tried Windex, we've tried hot water dish soap. So sometimes you might just not have the right parameters, and that's part of learning. And again, you can reach out to us if you have those questions. That's what I'm here for. I'm here to help. That's what we do. We help. And so one of the big pieces of advice that we see given, it is, oh, you have wet filament, dry your filament. Most of the time, I'm not going to say all of the time, but most of the time, what you are dealing with is not wet filament, and whoever told you that is wrong. With that being said, drying your filament is likely not going to hurt it. It's likely not going to hurt it. So if you do get that advice and you do try it and nothing changes, well, you have dry filament. So that's a plus. I kind of have a war against wet filament because, like, we live in a swamp. We live in Florida, okay? It is humid here. Now, it's cold inside. It's currently, here, I'll show you. It's currently 70 degrees Fahrenheit. And because it's so cold inside, it is 47% ambient humidity. It's 51 Fahrenheit or 12 C outside right now. Yes, that is a positive number. Yes, all of you people from up north can hate me. I don't care. But that is low humidity for us. Normally, we're somewhere in kind of the mid-50s, right? We're somewhere normally in the mid-50s. we will see stringing with PETG, and that will let me know that it's time to dry it. PLA, I don't normally see any issues with PLA. It will start to get brittle after about a year, year and a half of being out in the open, but most of our filament is stored in the open, right down in all of these carts. It is really simple, and it just works. And yes, could we go through and dry our filament? I could. Heck, I could keep my office at sub 10% ambient humidity like I used to. It added almost $10 a day to my power bill. Keeping a room very dry in a state like this is very, very difficult. It would also be about 110, 120 degrees Fahrenheit in here at, 9% ambient humidity. So, yeah. What I'm trying to say is that it is often not wet filament, but it's never a bad thing to dry your filament. But please, please, please buy a filament dryer. Do not try to dry it in an oven, a toaster oven, whatever. If you don't use a filament dryer or some sort of dehydrator that is designed for this purpose to dehydrate things, you have a potential to melt your spool and make a really, really nasty afternoon of doing cleanup. We've seen this before. It happens. And we try to tell people. Sometimes they don't listen. But just be careful when it comes down to dealing with drying filament. Please don't do it in gas ovens. Please don't do it in electric ovens. Please don't do it in an oven, period. Get a filament dryer. They're not very expensive, and there are a lot of companies out there that make them. If you want, wait for it to go on sale so you don't have to spend a ton of money. I think that's fair. George White says, in the middle of New York, south of Rochester. K2 Kevin says, world's best filament dryer. It won't hurt it. Allison Ford says, weirdly, I tend to get some issues at this time of year for first layer. I always get there, but it gets annoying. So if it does get really cold, remember, metal expands and contracts. So if you are not dealing with a machine that will auto do all the stuff for you, chances are your machine has shrunk ever so slightly, and that has adjusted some of your parameters. Now, it's not normally enough to cause issues, okay? I want to be clear on that one. But if you do live in a particularly cold climate or a particularly dry climate, you can have issues with printing in the extremes. So just be careful on that one. Don't be surprised if you do have to change your bed level as it gets colder. And for those of you that are printing with resin, I wish you nothing but the best of luck, because pretty much under 70 degrees ambient Fahrenheit, you're going to have to just change everything about your resin settings. Just if you live in the north and you don't have a heater for your resin printer, you need to get that fixed. Someone's going to yell at me for not having the politician done yet. That thing is so far on the back burner at this point. Half our viewers don't even know what the politician is. And I'm sorry. I really do need to refocus and get the politician out. It's not gone well. But that's how life goes sometimes. That's how product development goes. Sometimes you have to stop doing things so you can do other things. It happens. George White says, I have two Sovel spool. I have the Sovel 2 spool dryer. There it is. It only goes 50 C in 12 hours. I would not buy it again. That's fair. I like the S2 dryer, the Sunloot S2 dryer. I normally put my spools in for PLA 58, 59 degrees C. PETG goes to 65. Everything else that's higher than PETG goes to 69. Nice. And the only reason we do that is it will regulate better. If you set it to 70, it has a tendency to overshoot quite a bit. When you set it below 70, it tends to regulate a lot better. We have the iBOS dryer. I need to do an unboxing and review of it and all that. They sent it over, and I got to get through the Voron first. We got to do the Voron first. By the way, people that were following along with the Voron build, I did find the stupid, cheap, crappy electronics kit that I have that I bought because it has a soldering iron in it that's really cheap and crappy that I can use specifically for my heat sets. So I found what I was looking for. That means we're going to do a lot of heat sets next week, and I'm excited. Not next week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. But yeah. Find the proper thing that works for you, right? When we look at other print failure modes, one of the big ones that we see is the wrong filament. The wrong filament. Now, printers like the Bamboo with the AMS. I don't know if the AMS Lite does it. I know the regular AMS does. If you use Bamboo's specific material, they have NFC or RFID chips in them, and they will auto-update what they are. And the machine will alert you to if you are trying to print something that you don't have the right material loaded for. But if you ignore that and you tell it to print, you might be printing at bad temperatures. And that is another big thing to do. Something like printing PETG at PLA temperatures or vice versa, or accidentally loading ABS when you were expecting PETG, or when I did it, when I loaded carbon fiber nylon expecting that it was carbon fiber PETG because that's what the spool said. I couldn't see where my idiot brain wrote with a black Sharpie on a black spool that it was CF nylon and not CF PETG. But like a big dumb idiot, I didn't actually scratch out that it was CF PETG. Those are the common failure modes that, I mean, you could cause them yourself like I did, but you could just absentmindedly forget to update things. And that can clog a printer. It can clog a printer pretty fast. So be careful with those kinds of things. I'm a little cautious these days when it comes to materials. If you find a company that you like, stick with it. If you're in the States, absolutely love Printed Solid Jesse PLA. They don't pay me to say that, although they have sponsored videos in the past. They do not pay me to say that. I also love Polymaker if you want to get stuff that is available on Amazon. Polymaker is great, reasonably affordable filament. And if you are near a Micro Center, Inland Brand filament is another one, which pretty certain it's just Polymaker at this point. The spools are identical, and it's the only company that I see using those spools. So I'm sure that's nothing to, you know, to speculate about. I don't think Polymaker can, like, actually say they do, but someone tweeted about it. The person that I live rent-free in their head, which is great. I think it's hilarious that I constantly live rent-free in their head. They tweeted about it, and Polymaker said, well, if enough people say it, it must be true, which means they're likely contractually obligated to not be able to talk about it. So, yeah. Mike's Fourth Dimension says, why no chat overlay? I was missing it. As I watch your old live streams, I'm used to it from Steve streams. So, honestly, I don't really know how to do that. I honestly have no clue how to do it. But at the same time, this is more of a like a podcast than it is a regular stream. I would like to be able to do it on our regular streams, but I honestly have no idea. So, Mike, Steve knows how to reach me. Either DM me on Twitter or message me on Discord. If you know how to do it, I'd love to learn, but I don't know how to do it. So for right now, you have to just look on the sliding chat for YouTube. But yes, I do. So Mr. Catlett is saying it's because you record through Zoom first and pipe into OBS. Yes, I do. Because we always have backup recordings. So like I record in Zoom and I record in OBS just in case. But I could just bring it in to the OBS overlay. I just don't know how to do it. So yeah, somebody wants to help in that, I'd certainly be willing to do that. I just don't know if we will do it for this podcast. I don't know. I don't know. You guys have to let me know in the comments, I guess. Let me know if you want to see a chat overlay. I'm always worried that we're going to get like Baba Booey'd or someone's going to say something bad in the chat and it's going to end up on the screen and just, yeah. Yeah. And see, Mike from NLTMW says chat overlay burned into the video is dangerous. Anything posted goes live to the video forever unless you edit it later. And Duff says, Google it, Grant. I love that our mods are some of the most toxic people in our chat, and that's always good. When your mods are the most toxic people in your chat, you know you have good mods, because the mods are just making fun of you, which is totally fine. So Astro Lemonade 349 says, I'm trying new materials, TPU and PETG. What filament dryer do you recommend? Honestly, whatever's on sale. I really want that new Sunlu S4 dryer. Like, I really, 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 really want it. It looks cool because it can do 4 spools. I wish it did 5 for my Prusa XL, but it can do 4 spools. It's expensive. It's like $150. But that might be a good value when you look at single spool dryers are like $40 to $70. So, yeah. Liz says never toxic, but Liz, I'm in your freezer. So, you know, it's weird. Liz has a mini me that's been in her freezer. I don't remember why she put the mini me in her freezer, but it's been in her freezer for a while. And if you are a part of our Discord, I will repost the mini me when we're done. So if you guys want to print the mini me for tomorrow, you can. Mike from NLTMW says mods are the best hecklers because no penalty. That is true. So that means Mike, you should be a mod. Mike mod. Anyways, we get back on subject now, but yeah, dryers, the Sunlu dryers are fine. Any generic version of it is fine too. I watch the 3D Printing Deals Twitter account way too much. It's kind of a problem. And there was a big pricing error, and you were able to stack a bunch of coupons on Amazon. I got 3 kilos of filament, 2 dryers for like $15 total. I would do that again in a heartbeat. But right now, I think you can get them for like $40. But yeah, watch out for the S1 style dryers that aren't circular. If they look kind of like a rounded square for some reason, I don't like those. I don't like those. Astro Lemonade says, what do I think about IBOS? They sent me a dryer. I haven't opened it yet, so I can't give you any advice there. I can say it appears to be a decent dryer, but I don't know anything about it because I don't have experience with it yet. And so that's the other thing. When you're asking people for advice, if you don't have personal experience with it, you can say it looks to be good, but I don't have any personal experience with it. And I think that's the right method to do. If someone asks you about a printer, if somebody asks you about a dryer or whatever, if you don't have experience, don't talk like you do. Because if you give some bad advice, that person is going to look at you and say, why'd you do that? Was it on purpose? Did you not know what you were talking about? So, yeah, be careful on that one. Advice can be a tough one, especially for content creators, right? As we're moving into doing more project videos this year, we have probably about a month or so left of like banked content, if you will. So stuff that's like already in the queue, but we're going to be doing some project videos this year where we build stuff. I like that kind of thing, and I think you guys will like it too. But like, we've got a bunch of other videos planned right now. And once those are done, then we will move into doing more project videos where printers will not get reviews. Printers that will be sent to us will be used for projects. We will talk about the experience of the printer during the project, and that's it. And you might ask, Grant, why are you doing that? Well, we can't pay our bills with 3D printers, and companies want to just send 3D printers for purposes of review. And a 3D printer review channel is a one-trick pony, right? That's all you can do. You're a one-trick pony. We want to be able to do project videos where not only can we get the printer for free, but we can get some cash on top of it to take care of our time, our material cost, all the labor involved, editing, gear if we need to buy new gear for the video. Because that's how we sustain a business doing this. We don't do it by just getting free stuff. Free stuff doesn't pay. Our editor cannot eat filament, no matter how many times I've said, well, why don't you just eat the filament? Our editor cannot eat filament, and neither can I. Filament is toxic. So is resin. Don't eat it. But yeah, when we look at reviews, I don't know if we are going to have dedicated reviews anymore. We will certainly be doing unboxings and first looks. That's what the iBOS is going to be. It's going to be an unboxing. It's the two spool. I don't know what model it is. They randomly sent it to me without telling me. They asked me like 6 months ago for my address to ship me something, and then it never showed up. And then it randomly showed up right before we left for Prague, before Smurf. So, literally, it's over here in a box. It was an unlabeled box. I had no idea what was in it. I'm like, I don't know who sent me stuff, but it's a little bit weird. When we found out it was them, I just said, hey guys, next time, just let me know. But, Mike from NLTMW says, I like the look of the iBOS model that rotates spool. I think that's the one they sent me. It's the one that has extra plastic stuff. This had fallen out of the box. It has, extra plastic stuff. But, yeah. Anyways, as for when there will be a review from Aster Lemonade asked, probably there won't ever be one, but you'll see it be used in videos and you'll hear me randomly talk about it. Will there be a dedicated review video? Probably not, because the expense in producing a dedicated review video is too high. So, anyways, way more information than you needed to know about that. ADHD is strong today. Okay, it's the Polyphemus currently on pre-order, so that's probably not the one I have. I thought it was I can see it. It's out there. I'm not going to go get it. I can't tell what's in it. Sorry, guys. I wish I knew for sure. It might be the fixed try. I don't freaking know. Whatever. So, another common point of failure is going to be extruders getting clogged, hot ends getting clogged, and filament grinding. We see this often with Bowden printers without all metal hot ends. And while we as an industry are moving away from non-all metal hot ends, some older printers still have it. And I'm looking at you, Creality. I really wish you would just discontinue older models of machines. Continue to provide support for them, but nobody wants to buy a Gen 1 Ender 3 anymore. The cost of a Gen 1 Ender 3 is too high. You want a V2 or a V3 or one of the other 30 variants of it. I'm sorry, but Creality's naming scheme at this point just feels deliberately misleading. It is what it is. I'm not a fan of it. I'm told the KE is a good printer and the SE is a good printer, but if someone is looking to buy somebody else a printer, the KE and the SE are probably not going to be the ones they look at. So, yeah. But if you have a Bowden printer, you're going to want to always check to make sure your Bowden tube is clean, especially if you have a non-all-metal hot end. How do you know if you have an all-metal hot end? Well, is your printer limited to 260 or 270 degrees centigrade, or is your printer able to go up to 300? If your printer can go up to 300 on the hot end, it's likely an all-metal hot end. And if it's not, we've got problems, because it should be limited. If you have a non-all-metal hot end, where it has a PTFE tube that goes all the way into the hot end, and when I say that, there will be Bowden printers where the PTFE tube will go here, or even all the way down to the end of the heat sink. If it does not go into the heat block, it is considered an all-metal hot end. If it does go all the way into the heat block, it is considered a PTFE-lined hot end. At 252 degrees centigrade, PTFE starts to break down and releases toxic fumes. You will not be able to smell it. It should be pretty unnoticeable to humans. But if you have birds, you'll know, because birds are very sensitive. That's where the canary in a mineshaft comes from. But yeah, if you check your Bowden tube by pulling it out and you can see that it's dark near the bottom, that means you have a non-all-metal hot end. And we definitely want to make sure that if you do have a non-all-metal hot end for some reason, that you are actively checking that Bowden tube for extra crap that gets stuck in it. Bowden tube is a wear item. It will wear out on you. We've shown it a few times where the filament will actually grind its way through the Bowden tube. It happens. Keep spare on hand. It's cheap. If you want to get nice stuff from Capricorn, you can spend a little bit of extra money, but but it's not necessary. The cheap stuff will work just fine for most of what everybody is doing, okay? But if you do want to push and make it better, CapTube will make it a little bit better. Just going to put that out there. So, yes. The Bowden tube, hot ends, and all that, those can be wear items. The next one's going to be nozzles, right? Your nozzle can get jammed, but it's not all that likely. And unfortunately, companies provide you with an acupuncture needle to clean it. What they don't tell you is that those nozzles are made of brass. Those needles are made from steel. And if you know a little bit about metals, you'll know that brass is softer than steel. So if you go through and poke that needle into the nozzle, you are likely going to damage your nozzle. Now, if you do it once or twice, it's not going to be that big of a deal. But if you do it often, or it's your first line of defense rather than doing a cold pull, you are going to damage your nozzles. Now, nozzles are pretty affordable. Do not buy the cheapest nozzles available on Amazon. They will cause you more problems than they solve. Buy decent quality nozzles. If you're paying less than $1 a nozzle, they're too cheap. I'm sorry. But if you are spending that little money on nozzles, they are disposable. As soon as you have a problem, change your nozzle. But at some point, changing nozzles is a pain in the ass. So why not just buy a decent nozzle from the beginning that works? For those of you with glass build plates, specifically the Carborundum glass build plates from Creality that have the little dots on them, those dots are silicon carbide. It's sandpaper. If your nozzle runs across that bed and scrapes across it, throw your nozzle away, get a new nozzle. It is totally easy to screw that up and mess up your nozzle because it'll basically grind away a little bit of your nozzle. Now, for the Mark 8 nozzles, which are more pointy, these are V6 nozzles. They're less pointy, okay? You can see how it's got a big flat part, then it goes to the point. A Mark 8 has a much longer point to it. For the Mark 8s, you can grind them down a little bit before you see issues, but it is, going to be different with your Z offset. So something to be aware of there as well. But yeah, don't buy cheap nozzles. Tarsman013 says, if you have some extra cash, check out Diamondback Nozzles. They have supported our channel before. It is a buy once, cry once. They're like $100 nozzle. We are going to be working with them here pretty soon. They did send us a bunch of B-stock nozzles that we can absolutely obliterate. So we're going to be obliterating nozzles, and we're going to be doing some really, really cool things with the diamonds. So stay tuned, because that is absolutely coming. It'll be a fun little live stream where we beat the piss out of some nozzles, and I cry a little bit. let me see here. Power Spider says, I saw a comment that you should avoid a filament dryer that doesn't allow hotter than 50°C. The Solval 1 is on sale for 40 and holds 2 rolls. I need a dryer. Should I get it? I would not. That one will only go to 50°C and it will only do it for 12 hours. It's, yeah, no, not my kind of thing. I prefer a dryer that can go to at least 70. Creality's been teasing one that can go to 90, but that seems a little dangerous if you ask me. So, yeah. Mad Cat's here. Mad Cat, I hope you're doing better. Happy belated birthday to you. Your birthday was yesterday. Mine is tomorrow. So we're in between the birthdays. And I guess Tarsman's birthday is tomorrow because Tarsman013 is my identical twin brother. So his birthday is tomorrow too. See you later tonight, John. But yeah, as Jack Faxon says, 50°C is not hot enough for ABS or ASA, etc. It's true. The networking guy says, I'm currently printing at an ambient temp of -3°C. How do I get better prints? By the way, yes, this is a bamboo torture test. Hey, dude. Hope life is good. We should chat. I have some stuff that I want to show you. We should chat. Yeah, but if you are currently printing at an ambient temperature of -3°F, how do you get better prints? You enclose your printer. And I want to be clear, the advice that I am going to be giving right now has varying levels of dangerous to it. So you need to determine whether or not you are willing to deal with this, because the cheapest way to enclose a printer is a trash bag. It is really freaking dangerous. Do not do that if you are going to leave your printer unattended at all. Don't be stupid, but it does work. A cardboard box is the next way. Yes, again, cardboard is flammable. If your printer has a problem and for some reason, somehow, catches fire, you've got a problem. Most printers aren't going to have those issues, but there is cardboard boxes. Then, you can look at something like one of those definitely for tomatoes grow tents that you can get on Amazon. The companies have started rebranding them as 3D printer enclosures, but if you search for grow tent, you'll find them for like half the price. It's the same thing. Those are a great way because those will allow you to heat up the ambient. And if it's too large, like it's a really big one, get a hairdryer. Heat up the ambient temperature of the chamber with a hairdryer and your printer should reasonably keep it in check. Then you could look at something like a Wham Bam hot box, similar, but is much easier to fold down. And if you do not throw the box away for your hot box, because when you're done with the hot box, you can fold it and put it back in the box. It's nice. And then if you really want, you can look at some of these like off the shelf enclosures. Like there's the Prusa enclosure, but that's like $180 to $300, something like that. And there are other ones like a lac table enclosure that you could build. But, dude, if you're trying to ball on a budget, a freaking cardboard box gets you 90% of the way there without spending a dime. But yeah, the networking guy says $30 enclosure and $20 on foil-backed foam, and it holds 50C. Exactly. Yep, you can do that. Although a lot of the grow tent enclosures already have that for you. So, yeah. So, varying levels of safety concerns, but those are all valid methods to do it. You decide what level of risk you are willing to accept. I am not responsible if you do something stupid. David Connor Shover says, put it over a hibachi. Yeah, but only if your printer can also do the Benihana tricks. That's the only way I will accept you to put it over a hibachi. Otherwise, I do not accept it whatsoever. Tarzan03 says, I just light a ring of fire around mine so that I can also make a sacrifice to the 3D printer gods. Being that I know your day job, this wouldn't even surprise me at all. Aza's Built to Code says, fire rated 5/8 of an inch drywall and duct tape. Super cheap and bonus janky points. That is a, that, okay. But then you have to, unless you have, who has drywall just laying around? I don't even have drywall just laying around. And unless your significant other's gonna let you cut holes in your wall to get the drywall, I can't recommend doing that. But yes, technically, drywall is a pretty decent way to do it. Actually, a lot of firearm safes are lined with drywall with gypsum because it is reasonably fireproof, and that's how they rate for their fireproofing. So that would work, but duct tape itself is not fire retardant, so you would have a potential issue there. I don't want to get into this. I am going down this path for no damn reason, but yeah, Duff says he has drywall sitting around. Well, you know, Duff, I know what you do for a living. That doesn't surprise me either. Networking guy says, did I ever show you pics of my DIY enclosure? You didn't. It's a metal tube frame and fabric with foil-backed foam inside it and lights. That's clean. That's clean. Mike from NLTMW says, does printed solid still make enclosures? I have one for my CR10 in the box. They do. They do still make enclosures. I don't have experience with them. I think we're going to be doing something with their enclosures at some point, but right now I don't have any experience with it at the moment. We have toured their facility. I like the way they do their enclosures. They do the plastic with metal on it. It's quite lovely. It's quite lovely. And as the networking guy says, if you bought a pre-built printer, just use the box it came with. That's right. If you have a P1P, you can just cut a door in the cardboard box. And there you go. You now have a P1S. Congratulations. That's not how that works. Wexter is here saying, hey everyone, I'm gonna need that t-shirt. Cat t-shirt's coming soon. I need to find a new printer. So if anyone has DTG printers that they've liked and used, let me know. We were using Custom Cat. This is actually a Custom Cat shirt, but unfortunately, God, I am just ADHDing my way through things. This was the this is what I've been getting from them. This is what they sent to me recently. look at the difference in the this is not blown out. This is actually the way that it looks. It looks faded and blown out color-wise. And they told me this is acceptable, and unfortunately, this is not acceptable for the type of quality that we're looking for. So, this is what I want. This is what I've gotten from them in the past. This is what they gave to me recently, and they're a small company, so I'm trying to work with them. I've been trying to set up a talk with the higher ups there, because they're pretty much the ones that answer the email, so that we can kind of go through it, talk about the process, so I can better understand how they're adjusting their colors. Because if we are going to be selling clothing and all of that, I want to make sure that the quality is going to be consistent no matter who orders it, no matter where they are in the world. Anyways, moving on, because I'm moving away from the topic of this actual video. But yes, shirts coming soon. Wexter, I've got at least one with your name on it. But yeah, I'll hook you and the fam up with some shirts. Don't worry. FJ Prince says use an old microwave. That would actually would work. Yeah, that would actually work pretty well, actually. Power Spartan has any predictions for 3D printing CAD and so on for 2024? We did that video already. I think that was 2 weeks ago. Yeah, might have been 2 weeks ago. Anyways, yes. Matrix Tech says they don't understand the T. And I love it. That is hilarious. 100% love it. All right. So let's talk about asking for advice. If you are going to ask for help from people, or if you're asking for advice, especially if you're asking for help, let's do asking for help first. If you're going to be asking for help, provide more details, right? One of the mods, if you can link Power Sprouter, the predictions video, that'd be awesome. Because I don't want to say Google it, because that's not nice, but I am live and yeah, I don't want to take my attention off. But yeah, if you can link Power Sprouter, the predictions video, that'd be awesome. It was a previous stream. But yeah, if you are going to be asking for help, right? If you want to ask for help, you're having issues with your printer and you want to ask for help, some of the things you can provide. Details. I want to know the material. I want to see pictures of the problems. I want to know who the manufacturer is. I want to know your machine that you're running. I want to know all of the print settings that I possibly can. And if for some reason you don't just provide me with screenshots of your slicer, which would work. Screenshots of the slicer are perfectly fine. We're going to need things like temperature, speed, retraction. What else? Temperature, speed, retraction, infill percentage, infill overlap percentage, and the amount of top and bottom layers. Those should normally give you a pretty decent picture of what we're looking at in terms of basic slicer settings. That would be where I would start first. If you are asking for help, you need to be able to provide information. If you say, help, my printer doesn't work. Okay, what is your printer? What material? What temps? What feeds? What speeds? We ask a lot of questions. And if you can provide those answers to those questions initially, which is specs, right? That will help you get assistance way faster. And if you don't know the answer, don't just guess, right? And if you are guessing for some reason, let the person know that this is a guess. Not 100% sure if this is going to work. Go ahead and do that. And yes, we did do a video on how to ask for help. Thank you, Chris. I didn't know if any of our mods are going to pick up on the fact that we've also done this entire topic as a video. And Mike says, what are your ambient room conditions? It's also often part of the equation. Yes, if it's too cold, if it's too hot, do you have a draft in the room? Do you have an AC vent blowing onto your printers? That all can really get in the way, especially if you start to get up to, you know, materials like ABS and ASA and nylon and all that. Those will all have problems when it comes to drafts and temperatures. They're more picky, than your normal materials. So that is really where I want information from you. And if you don't provide that information, the amount of help that you can get goes down. Because without that information, we have to start, instead of being very, very specific on the help that we can provide, we have to provide more vague assistance, right? So, hey, check your speeds and feeds. Let us know if that's going to work. There are some ways that this can go right, where we just kind of can look at it and know exactly what the problem is. But the more information that you can provide, the better. It is okay to overprovide information here, right? If I don't need your slicer settings, but you give them to me, I'm happy. But if I need your slicer settings and you don't provide them, I now have to ask for them. And it's one extra step that we have to do to assist, where the average person that is looking to help might say, that's not worth my time. They didn't do their part, so I don't want to do my part. Now, that does breed a bit of toxicity, but I get that people don't want to have to do extra legwork when the person asking for help didn't do any legwork to begin with on their own. Famelicious says, have you done a video about different hot ends? Not yet, but to do that, I would need like all the hot ends possible to kind of talk about them and why they're different and that kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know if we could ever do that. That'd be a video where we need a lot of stuff to get from like sponsors and all that. So I don't know. That one might or might not happen. So part of this game is, at least, you are pretty much likely to get upset. Okay. I hate to say it. Chances are, you're going to have problems. Chances are, it's going to frustrate you. And chances are, you're just going to want to say, F it all, and get rid of this thing. And I don't want to see that. I think if we take just a little bit of extra time, we go through what's going on, why we're having issues, and how we can work together to solve them, that we can build a community of people that, while they might get frustrated, they know how and when to ask for help. Because if you don't know how to ask for help, you're not going to get any. And just saying, help, my printer doesn't work. Okay, what would you like me to do? And if you just say, fix it, and you give me nothing, I'm now getting frustrated because you're not helping me help you. It is a give and take. And especially if you go to some of the places with toxicity, right? Pretty much avoid most social media. Find a community that you like and work with them. Heck, at the $10 tier and higher, via Patreon, YouTube channel members, PayPal, whatever, you can join our Discord, which it is pay-gated. I'm sorry, but we do that because I am often providing one-on-one assistance to people in our chat, in our Discord. And I am often there pretty much every night, hanging out with the folks, just straight chilling. And I got to make sure that I can be at least marginally compensated for my time. So yes, it is pay-gated. But $10 gets you into an awesome community of awesome people that do awesome things and like to make fun of me. So if that's your kind of thing too, I think you'll really like it. Yeah, Reddit used to be the place where I would go for a community. But yeah, as FJ Prince says, Reddit's gotten pretty bad too. Now, this is expected. As a community grows, it will get more toxic. That doesn't mean that it doesn't mean there's anything that we can do about it. We can try, but the toxic people are just going to yell at us and say, I don't give a damn, screw you, you can go to hell. And I don't like that at all, but welcome to the world. It's how life works. I wish we had a better system, but these communities for some reason get very toxic very quickly. And if you see toxicity, you can try to call it out, but chances are you're just going to get brigaded. So it's up to you of what level of white knight you'd like to be, but you know, proceed with caution, if you will. Please. The networking guy says, if I have problems, I just go straight to Joseph for Prusa and Cedric for Bamboo. I don't recommend that. I mean, I get that you have direct contacts. I do too. I would, well, I can understand going directly to Cedric for Bamboo because you're going to definitely get a better answer than you would going to support. Cedric's a great guy. But going to Joseph, I don't know. Like, Prusa has such good customer support and chat as it is. You might as well just go use their chat. I needed to use their chat twice the other day. We have some issues with an order. It's not Prusa's fault. It's 100% my fault. And chat was great. I had less than a minute wait both times. I got answers that I needed. It was stupid simple. I loved it. It was awesome. It was very, very, very good. So, you know, something to point out there. And as Mad Cat says, there's a Facebook group, 3DP Rescue, is dedicated to helping people without an attitude. I avoid Facebook like the plague. I do, and I kind of recommend that most people do. Facebook is an absolute cesspool. It's bad. As the networking guy says that he has beta tested stuff with Joseph. That's fine. That is absolutely when beta. That's when you those direct contacts make sense. But for the average user, sir, and I know you're not the average user because I know who you are. For the average user, don't do that. For you, and if you're on special projects, that's fine. I get it. I didn't realize you were connected with Joe. I would have brought you up when we were talking about some stuff recently. Sorry. I'm very tired. I did not sleep well last night. But with any hobby, especially a hobby that involves some tinkering, and I don't care what machine you have. I don't care if you have a Prusa, a Bamboo, a Creality, a Voron, you will need to, at some point in your time frame, tinker with your machine. I know this because I think it's going to be next week. I have to go fix a P1P. Why? Because the person bought it because they just work. Well, they never bothered to learn how to fix it. Now, there's a deeper story to that. I don't know if they want me telling it, but it involves the loss of a loved one. Anyways, the person had just, they got the printer passed down to them. It just worked. And they never bothered to learn how to fix it because, oh, if it just works, I don't know. I don't need to know how to fix it. Now the printer's broken. Support did not help them. They are frustrated with support. They have given up with Bamboo support, so they called us. Now, they don't know about my YouTube channel, so they didn't call us because of that. They called us because we're local. And they don't know what to order. Support gave them three different things they needed to order, and I said, you don't need to order any of those. I don't know why. I said, no. I have enough spare parts. I'm bringing my own spare parts to help get their machine up and running, and I'm going to teach them at the same time. Now, given their circumstances, I don't think we're going to charge them anything, but in cases like that, if you have an opportunity to help somebody in person and teach them, you get a much better opportunity to bring someone who is not knowledgeable up to a space of being knowledgeable. That's a big deal. Knowledgeable, where they know what they're doing and might even be comfortable helping other people. That's awesome. And that's something that I want to see happen. Mice Fourth Dimension says, do you have a local shop or store in Florida? We used to have a retail space. We shut it down right before Human Malware. So it's not open to the public, but we do house calls. We are mobile, so we can take printers to people if they need it. We've done printer swaps before where, you know, someone needs a printer, but theirs is broken. So I'll bring one of ours. We'll swap it. I'll repair theirs and then we'll swap it back. But yeah, we don't have an open to the public shop. It doesn't make sense for us at this point. There's no point in us spending the money on rent when we don't need to do it. So, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, there's 105 people watching, 45 likes. Let's up that like count. Like the video if you haven't. Appreciate it. Yeah. Anyways, so Nathan says, that's why I often recommend to people I don't know have a thumb in the middle of their hand to grab a cheaper printer first. I don't know. That's a saying that I don't understand. But yeah, if you want to grab a cheaper printer first, tinker with, that might not be a bad idea to learn. It's why we recommend Prusa kits to people, because while you do pay a pretty hefty tax to get a Prusa printer, what you do get is one of the best manuals in the industry that will not only guide you to build your printer piece by piece, but it will also teach you effectively how to fix it. That's important. That's something that I want to see more companies do, Voron. I was expecting Prusa-level documentation. It was not that. And God, the whole chat was just yelling at me. Oh, it was so stressful. I'm like, I don't understand. What do you mean? They're like, it doesn't hold your hand. Just, you got to make assumptions. Well, I'm not going to make assumptions. Anyways, it was kind of funny. It was kind of funny. Zerno says everything is open to the public with the help of tools and some trank darts. Yeah. Yeah. Nathan says Asti builds a hold your hand. So the reason why I'm not doing that and probably will not do it for this build is because my goal is to get the first time Voron builder experience. Even if I screw things up. Okay, because I want my videos to be something where if you are building a Voron 2, these will be questions that you will likely have. And if you follow along with me, I will have probably asked them already. So, yeah. 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 I try to make it as real as possible for people. That's my goal is to make it real when and where we can. The stock BOM Voron guide is great. LDO didn't make their own. It would be nice. People were yelling nut bars at me, and I thought they were making fun of me. I didn't realize there's a part called a nut bar, and it's not in the regular Voron manual. It's part of the LDO kit that you get. But they're like, nut bars. I'm like, I don't know what you're saying. Do I need to go get a peanut granola bar? I don't know what's going on. But yeah, it was a piece that I needed to put into the printer. It was kind of funny. And I will say it was stressful, right? And part of that is that it is going to be stressful. But I hope that people that rewatch that series that are building their first Voron would find at least some solace that I'm not the only one that's screwing things up, or they're not the only ones that are screwing things up, right? Someone asked when the next Trident stream is. 2 weeks. Unless, I don't know, I might start doing Trident streams every week. I don't know. You guys will have to let me know. I don't want to go overboard on the content, because, like, I have a regular job to do too, but I don't want to burn myself out, so I don't know. You guys have to tell me what you want. I guess it's a zig-a-zig. Apparently. That's what everybody wants. All right. Back on track. Frustration and giving up. Right. There were a lot of times when I first started where I wanted to give up. A lot of times. Now, these are back in the Mendel days, okay? Like, the Darwin was the awesome printer that I couldn't afford to build. These machines back then were just outright dangerous, to be fair. They were outright dangerous, but they worked. I got frustrated so many times trying to build my first printer. Just, like, there weren't kits, right? You had to, like, use a chisel and wood to build your own printer. And then the first thing you did was print the plastic parts to replace the wooden parts, and just, it's pain. Obviously, newer machines don't have that level of complexity and dangerous, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to run into potential problems. And I don't want to see people just continue to run into problems. It's why we do PrintFix Friday. It's why we want people to get that help. Because once you get through and you have the knowledge to keep it from happening again, you get to that other side. It's like the promised land of making cool stuff because you can. And I love that. I love the ability of just making stuff because you can. Now, we are looking for some cool products to run on our Prusa XL. So if you guys have any cool products that you want to see done on a tool changer, please let me know. I really want to see more multi-material stuff. I'm okay with doing multicolor stuff, but I think that there are enough multicolor printers on the market that that's not as cool as a multi-material. So if there is something that you want to see, please let me know, because I would like to try to crowdsource some cool projects that we can do with our Prusa XL before it leaves the main set. But yeah. Yeah. And Wexter, Salty's been here the whole time. Come on. Come on. He did say, okay, thanks. I wash my plates with dish soap and water every so often. Just wasn't sure if I had to do anything different when cleaning off with Windex. Nope. I put a couple of sprays on the bed, wipe down the paper towel, let it dry, and we're done. In fact, the heat up process of the printer dries out the plate, and it's awesome. I love using Windex. Even the generic Windex works just fine for me. They tried cleaning PVA glue with Windex. It is messy. Yep, trying to clean PVA glue, period, is just messy. So if you are dealing with a mess with your printer, just, you know, be careful with that. I don't like PVA glue for that exact reason. I don't like the mess that it makes. I really don't like the mess that it makes. But yeah, Thomas says, please do some multi-material combinations like PLA-PETG supports or TPU combinations. I've done PLA-PETG supports. It does work quite well, and I do like it. Wexy said, I wasn't checking the chat. Grant, I'm sculpting and listening to you. Well, I'm glad that the sultry tones of my voice are helping you get through sculpting. it's like a needle going across a record. But yeah, the other side of this industry, the I don't struggle so much anymore, is a really fun industry to be in. But I know that for a lot of you that are new, you feel like that part is unattainable. You'll never get there. You know, you're not good enough, whatever it might be. And I'm here to tell you that you are good enough. You can do it. And while it can be frustrating, it is easy to get there if you take your time. And, well, do some research. It will help you be more successful in the work that you're doing. Now, if you have machines, I think Bamboo and Prusa are pretty much the only two that are making set and fire and forget machines. Like, literally, they calibrate everything for you. And oh my gosh, the amount of calibration stuff that Bamboos do, it was way more than I expected. Oh man, it's cool. I'm currently seeing what we can and can't show in video, but oh man. Dude, it's way cooler than I thought. And I'm so excited to talk about it. I just don't know what we can and can't talk about for that. But anyways, the machines that are very fire and forget, because they give you the experience of not having to work to make your machine work. When your machine doesn't work, you run into this, well, I don't know what to do because this machine has just worked. And the community says, well, it must be a you problem because my machine works. I know this because my comment sections are like this on all of my Bamboo videos. You know, it must be your fault. It must be your fault. It must be your fault. You're an idiot. You're a moron. Those are the types of comments that we get all the time because printers weren't working. And yet, the Bamboo that I have right now, the Kickstarter one that was sent by a fan, works treat. I haven't had, well, I did have issues with ABS clogging. But I think that's the ABS. I don't think that's anything to do with the printer. Because I left the door open and the ABS printed fine. Yes, left the door open for ABS and it printed just fine. Don't understand it. But, yeah. If you have an issue with a printer, it's funny. I can't recommend going to that printer's community, right? I can't recommend going to the Bamboo Reddit, the Bamboo Facebook. I can't recommend going to the Prusa subreddit or the Prusa Facebook. I can't I can't recommend going to those industry-specific Facebook or Reddit groups because they're so incredibly toxic. I would say go to a place that is generic, like 3D printer help, like the Fix My Print subreddit. That will get you better results than you will get by going to the industry-specific subreddits, because there the hate is not so common there. And yeah, I wish, and we've talked about it, right, that companies would have more education. It's fine. I'm just going to make the education videos instead, but we are likely going to paygate them for reference. We'll have like some basic stuff that'll be available to the public, but the high end stuff will be paygated. Because again, this is a business. I love it, but it's a business at the end of the day. Yeah, I can't recommend any of the industry specific Facebook groups, the Creality Facebook group, the Prusa Facebook groups, the Bamboo Facebook groups. They're specific subreddits. They're all so toxic. Stay away from them. If you need help, reach out. YouTube at 3DMusketeers.com. Just email me. I don't care. I want to help people. And I promise that our space will remain as toxic free as I can keep it. Because ultimately, your experience in this industry is what you tell others. And while your ultimate goal is to get better prints, if you get better prints at the expense of your sanity, does it really matter? I argue it doesn't matter at all if you lose your sanity or you lose your patience in the process. So if you can get ahead of yourself, get ahead of those problems, and, you know, nip it in the bud before it becomes an issue, I think you're on to a much better result at the end of the day when it comes to working with your printers. Center says, wait, you guys have sanity. Like I said, I lost my sanity years ago. So Wexler says it's a sad day. He had to move his Mark III's because he put an A1 there. Yeah, I get it. I get it. I do. If you're running Bamboos and the A1 is fast and you want a faster printer, yeah, it's time to reorganize. I get it. Wexter says something. Where was it? I'd rather suggest those in the Aquarium Lover subreddit or Facebook groups. Those people are savages. Yeah, you want to know the really savage ones? The Model Train. The Model Train people. Dude, you want to talk? Or the car guys. Oh, the car guys. Go say that Chevys are the best in a Ford subreddit. Oh, man, those. Yeah. Like I said, avoid industry-specific things. Go to the more generic ones, and I think you'll get overall better advice. Even further, you'll get people that might not have your printer that have had your problem that can give you advice based on their results, and that can be helpful. That can be really helpful. So, yeah. You can get good prints that with a little bit of research, asking the right questions, and okay, there will be some frustration most likely, that you too can get a damn fine printing experience that works really, really well for you. I want to help if you need it. I am willing to donate time if you need it. But you have to know how to ask, if you're willing to ask. Anyone that's met me in person knows I'm incredibly approachable. I want to meet everybody that I can meet that's a fan. Hell, I want to meet people that don't like me. Just so I can shake their hand and say, hey, thanks for the engagement. I want to see more people join this industry. That will oddly mean the death for a lot of businesses like 3D Musketeers. 3D Musketeers started as a service bureau where we would make parts for people. But as printers get better and more affordable, it means that the value of the service bureaus go away. businesses still see the value, but consumers don't, which is fine. We were never a B2C business anyways. Our money is made by doing parts for businesses, not for doing parts for consumers. And that's fine. I am okay with that. I accept it. But at the same time, if you are looking to build a business with your printer, you have to also understand that the industry is changing, and unless you are doing something unique, trying to compete on price isn't going to work for you. Just be careful on that. I guess, yeah, something is going on with my OBS. I'm hoping that they get an update here soon. OBS always crashes for me. Like, when I go to close OBS, it crashes. It doesn't just actually close for me. And I've been noticing some occasional glitches. I've also been noticing that it's not staying constantly connected. So I don't know what's going on there. I'm sorry. I wish I had an answer, but I unfortunately... I don't. RM Commando says, and parts of the Smithsonian. We have not worked for them in a little bit, or worked with them for a little bit. But yes, we have worked the Smithsonian. They are my favorite client. Sorry to anybody else. Most of our clients know that there's nothing they can do to beat the Smithsonian. So even Snoop Dogg is not number one. Steve Aoki isn't number one. None of the celebrities you worked with are number one. Smithsonian is number one, period. Files. Audio files are not all that toxic. They're just gullible. But we will be doing an audio file series coming up on the channel. So if that is the kind of thing you want to see, let me know. Something happened. Am I still streaming? I should still be streaming. What's going on? Let's refresh some things. That should be working. That's working. Okay. All right. I'm still going. On my side, it shows that I'm not streaming anymore. But all right, if you guys say I'm streaming, we're good. My YouTube says I've got the Wheel of Doom. Oh, that's weird. All right, that's a YouTube thing for reference, because my side was totally clean. But yeah, if I'm kind of weird and glitchy, just refresh. Sorry. There's a glitch in the Matrix! Ah! All of a sudden, my skin peels off, and you get to see that I'm a lizard person underneath. But yeah, frustration is real. I mean, heck, you guys have seen me get frustrated with my bamboo. You've probably seen me get frustrated with my Prusas before. Our Discord has definitely seen me get frustrated with our resin printers. Most of the time, it's my own damn fault. But, yeah. Look, I want everybody to have a good experience in this industry, and I know that not everybody will. But I believe if we as a community help out the newbies, because I know a lot of you that are in the chat right now are not newbies. So if we help out the newbies and assist them in getting started, getting moving, getting involved in this industry, then what we do is we create more of ourselves, right? We create more people that are open, willing, understanding, and wanting to help versus those who, you know, are trying to be gatekeepy. So, yeah. That's all I got for you guys. I think that that is a awesome way to end it. Be kind to others. Yeah. And you know what? If you got any pets, give them a special treat tomorrow for me. It's my birthday tomorrow. That's all I ask of you guys tomorrow is if you got any pets, give them a special treat for me. It would be great to see that. That's what I always want. I want people to give their pets a little extra special treat. My brother got Victoria a big box of the Costco churros for the holidays, so we're going to be giving her one of those later today, and I'll give her another one tomorrow. If you're in our Discord, maybe I'll make sure that we can do it on camera. Anyways, guys, make sure to leave a like on the video, subscribe if you haven't. We do these pretty much every Sunday. I have no idea what next week is going to be yet, but hey, if you're in our Discord, you can help me decide. That's all I got for you guys today. Stay safe out there. Don't forget to call your loved ones, and as always, Keep making awesome. Episode 170. See you later.